Right, morning. Today's Daf and Brachos Daf Dal. We are on Dal Amud Aleph, top of the Amud. We are starting this morning with the words Rebbe Zera Omer. Rebbe Zera Omer is a continuation of yesterday's Daf. Yesterday's Daf, we talked about the knowledge of Chatzos. Is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech, they did not know precisely when Chatzos was? Well, Moshe seemingly did not know. When he approached Paro, he says, Kach Chatzos HaLayla, about midnight. And so that gave us the impression that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know exactly when Chatzos was. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, of course, knew. He said, Ba Chatzos HaLayla, exactly at midnight, I'm going to come in. So certainly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew, Moshe seemingly didn't know. The problem with that we had yesterday was a David HaMelech, so he knew, seemingly. He woke up at midnight. Chatzos HaLayla, the Pasuk in Tehillim says, we quoted the Pasuk yesterday. So is it possible that David HaMelech knew exactly when midnight was and Moshe Rabbeinu did not know? So one suggestion of the Gemara, which we saw yesterday, was, well, they both were, in terms of their knowledge on their own, they're the same. We would assume Moshe would know more. But nevertheless, as far as David is concerned, so an alarm clock. The alarm clock was set for midnight, and that's why he woke up at midnight, because of the alarm clock that was set. That is the, that's one suggestion that we said yesterday. And we went through the nightly schedule of David HaMelech and how he, when he woke up in the morning, so he didn't wake up well before the morning. He woke up at Chatzos. He actually, as we saw yesterday, there were opinions that he woke up before Chatzos. Exactly what was his nightly schedule? We went over yesterday quickly. What about in the morning when people came to him? Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim Parnasa. Jewish people need Parnasa. So, okay, and we went through all that yesterday. But one approach of the Gemara is that Moshe and David were both on the same level of not knowing precisely when Chatzos was. It's that the advantage that David HaMelech had is that he had an alarm clock. That's one possibility. The Gemara offers another possibility. Rabbi Zera Amar, Moshe La'olam Hayayada. So picking up where we left out yesterday on Daf Dalet, Amud Aleph, it's about 8 lines from the top of the Amud. So Rabbi Zera says that Moshe, of course, no. And David also knew. Became to David Havayada Kino Lamale. So the Gemara says, so if they both knew, so then why did he need the alarm clock? So the Gemara says very simple. Because he knew when midnight was, but he also needed to wake up at midnight. Okay, so a wonderful question to ask. So Moshe knew exactly when Chatzos was, and so did David. And why did Moshe say Kachatzos Alayla about midnight? So Moshe Kasav Hashem Yitu Atzig Nene Paro V'yomru Moshe Badaihu. So the Gemara's response is because he was worried that the Atzig Nene Paro, the astrologers of Paro, so they're going to look at the clock and they're not sure exactly when midnight is. Midnight without a clock, without a watch, it's really hard to decipher. Midday is a little bit easier without a clock, but even then, obviously, you know, we can, you know, guesstimate when the time is. But at night, it's really hard to decipher. So you have his Atztagnina, you have his astrologers, and based on stars and constellations, so they're going to give some sort of guess of when midnight is. And what they're going to tell Paro is, Moshe, I got to tell you, the guy's a fool. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He said, this is midnight? It's 12:05. I'm telling you right now. So Moshe Badaihu Da'amamar Lima Lashon Chalomar Eni Odeya. So Shema Tizbada Vesochaz. So as a general rule, this is Masechta Derech Eretz, says Rashi, that when a person should get used to the idea of saying, any other day, I don't know, because if you, let's say you don't know, and you make up a story, so people are going to catch you. Literally, tochas, you're going to be caught. So get used to saying, I don't know. Good. So as a general principle, that is a great way to navigate. It's good to know things also. Right, it's a great starting point, but also know your limits and know at what point in time you don't know. Anyway, it comes out now in the second approach of Rabbi Zera, both Moshe and David knew exactly when midnight was, and the only thing needed explanation is why did Moshe say Kachatzos Alayla when he talks to Paro and he tells him that around midnight you're gonna have Makas Becharos, and the answer is because he didn't want Paro to think that we were foolish and didn't know what we were talking about. And so, therefore, he says around midnight. Okay. Sichos Moser, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. So, he says over here in our Gemara, it's rather amazing if you step back and think about what we're saying. We're saying that after the 9 Makas, and after Makas Bechoros, and every Bechor is killed in Mitzrayim, now here's what we're suggesting. Because we're 5 minutes off, so now Paro's like, oh, the whole thing is silly. Akash Baruch Hu is really not that powerful, because he's 5 minutes off. He doesn't really know what he's doing. He doesn't know what he's talking about. After the 9 Makas, after Makas Bechoros, you would think You would think that 5 minutes to paro is not the critical issue. But the musar is obvious. In other words, if you want to be a cynic and you want to and you want to find the imperfections, you'll look for them. And even though the evidence is overwhelming that there is a Kadosh Baruch Hu and there is mitzvos and we are chayv in mitzvos, but nevertheless, so if the person who wants to find something to, you know, if he wants to find the flaws, he can find the flaws. Okay, the musar is pretty obvious. We're back to our Gemara Rav Ashi Amar. This is now going to be a third approach. So for the question on the table is, what did Moshe and David know about Chatzos, or did they not know about Chatzos? So the first approach of the Gemara is that they both didn't know about Chatzos. The second approach of the Gemara, Rabbi Zera, is they both did know about Chatzos. And now our third approach is, which is Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi Amar Bepalga or to the place or Nagi Arbeisar Havakai V'Hachi Kamar Moshe Yisrael Amar Kosh Baruch Lamachar Kachatzos Alayla Ki Aina Ani Yotzei B'Soch Mitzrayim. Our third approach is basically going to be the same as the second. Moshe, in fact, knew exactly when midnight was. And the only issue is the following. How do you explain the word kachatzos? That wasn't Moshe talking to Paro. It was Moshe talking to the Jewish people. When was he talking about it? On the night of Bedikas Chametz. Okay. I'm not saying that they had exactly Bedikas Chametz the way we have it now. But the midnight before Bankas Bechoros. So the night of Bedikas Chametz. So at midnight, and exactly at midnight, Moshe says, everyone now set your watches. I know, somewhat anachronistic. So everybody set your watches. This time tomorrow night, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to go out through Mitzrayim and he's going to wipe out all the Bechoros of Mitzrayim. And Kachatzos means, like right now, tomorrow night, same time, Makas Bechoros. Good. And this way now, we understand that Moshe and David both know about midnight. And as far as Moshe's Kachatzos, it doesn't mean around, but it means just like now. Okay. Yep, correct. Okay. We are in Dalam and Alf. We're at the two dots, about a quarter of the way down on from the top of the Amud. Okay. So far this morning, we covered David and Moshe knowing about midnight, whether they knew precisely, they didn't know precisely. What did David know? What did Moshe know? How do you explain the words Kachatzos Alayla? And there are three opinions that we saw together in the Gemara. We are going to launch into Divrei Agarata LeDavid. Now, the Gemara is not quoting the pasuk precisely, but the pasukim in Tehillim. So, LeDavid, .. Shamanav Shikha Chasid Ani. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please watch my soul because I am a chasid. This is David HaMelech talking. Levi Rav Yitzchak Hanamar, Kachama David Lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Lo Chasid Ani. So, according to one viewpoint, there are two, right? The Gemara always introduces, when the Gemara has two opinions but doesn't know which one said which, so it first says the two names, right? In this case, Levi and Rav Yitzchak, and then one says this way and one says the other way. So one says, Kach Amar Dab Lifnei Kosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam Lo Chasid Ani. Am I not a chasid? Shekol Machem Mizrach U'Marav Yishenim Ashal Shavs. You know, all the kings, they sleep until 3 hours. I told you, we're going to hear a lot about this. Kings sleep until 3 hours. Interesting, can I remind you, yesterday we said that the kings would start waking up into the third hour, meaning that David HaMelech had the first 2 hours, he for sure was ahead of the pack, right? Again, always a question of where to start the day, by Amud HaShachar or by sunrise. But, okay, just keep it simple. By the beginning of the day, David already was up, and he was up already since midnight. And at least 2 hours he was now ahead of the other kings, because the kings started waking up in the third hour and they finished waking up at basically the end of the third hour. So he says the other kings wake up only at 3 hours. I'm already up at midnight. The Idach, now the other Amora, how does he understand it? Am I not a chassid? So what do? They get together, they assemble together. Bichvodam, for their honor. Now what do? I get my hands dirty. And he means that over here, literally. Meluchlachus bedam, my hands get bloody, with shvir uvishilya. Now, what he is doing is he's touting the fact that he, David HaMelech, as opposed to the other kings, who just are there for the purposes of self-aggrandizement, he is there responding to halachas of Hilchos Nida, right? Dam, if you take a look at Rashi, the halachas of Dam, Shana Shemaris Lo Dam Nida, Im Tamim Tar, Sheish Maris Dam Tar Bisha. So as far as the first halacha that he responds to, that's the Hilchos Dam. In other words, Maris. They give him swatches of blood that came out of them. Some blood is tamei, some blood is tahor. We discussed that at length extensively back in Masechta Nidah. And so therefore, he would be looking at Maariv. Number two, Shvir. What is Shvir? Take a look at the next Rashi. Ha'or ha'vlad sha'at samas v'agidim v'abasu nisturim b'sochel. We're talking about an embryonic sac. V'yesh bir sha'isha yoshev esalav yimei tuma v'yimei tara. And there are some embryonic sacs that a woman has to observe the halachas of Nida. The izezez amaruka. And we talked about this also back in Masechta Nida. If it's got definition, if you could start seeing the defined limbs of the embryo, so then you have to observe the Yemei Tumah, Yemei Tahara. Yemei Tumah, yes, Yemei Tahara, no. We're Machmer, we're not necessarily Mekel. But anyway, and Rashi continues, Mefarish Lav, Yesh Bir Male Mayim, V'dam, Sheinu Chashuv Lad, Leishev Alav, Tumah, Yolaz, V'Yemei Taharasa. And there are embryonic sacs that are just filled with only water, only blood, in other words, and don't have definition, and are not considered an embryo, and are not considered a vlad, and there is no tumah. So this is a second area of halacha that David had a certain proficiency. Number three, shilya. So shilya is the placenta, and Rashi says that non ain shilya below vlad. Now we normally assume that a placenta has a fetus attached to it. Vuhu kimin levusha vlad shochev besochel v'karin. Rashi gives a French word for it. Ain shilya pchusa mitefach. And as far as the shilya is concerned, we had actual dimensions that were given back in Masechta Nida. It has to be the size of a tefach. Utchilasa kechut shel erev. It starts looking like the size of the loom. Right, there is the shesi, there is the erev. The shesi is the vertical. The erev is the horizontal. Anyway, v'sofa keturmus ends up looking at the size of the bean. Bean. So these placentas were also given to David HaMelech. David HaMelech, when knowing the halachas, would now establish whether or not this is halachically a placenta, whether or not there's a vlad. And if there's a vlad, so once again, she has to observe Yemei Tumah. So all this now is the halachas that David HaMelech would say. And again, what he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, am I not a chassid? Look what I'm taking care of. I'm taking care of dam and shilya and shpir. And these are the halachas that I am associated with. Okay. Sorry. V'lo od. Sorry, back to the Gemara. And not only that, but I also consult with my Rebbe. My Rebbe's Mephibosheth. My Rebbe. Va'omer lo Mephibosheth, Rabbi Yafet Danti Yafet Hayafti Yafet Zachisi Yafet Harati Yafet Timesi V'lo Boshti. And everything I did, I consulted with Mephibosheth. I asked him, did I judge correctly? I held him to be liable. I held him to be innocent. I was Matari this one. I was Matami that one. And I was never embarrassed. Meaning, I always consulted with Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was his Rebbe. And under all circumstances, I made sure that he was in agreement with my psak. Okay. So, we have now two ways of understanding the pasuk. David HaMelech says, Shama nafshi ki chassid ani am a chassid. And in what way is a chassid? So, number one, it's the idea of when he wakes up in the morning, all the other kings sleep until the third hour in the morning. He wakes up at midnight. Number two, they're all getting together just to honor themselves, and he is dealing with halachic shailas, making sure that a woman can in fact be with her husband. So I'm Rav Yishua Bari Deravida Maikra Va'adabra Be'edosecha Neged Malachim V'lo Evosh. I will speak your laws in front of kings V'lo Evosh, and I won't be embarrassed. And that pasuk is in reference to the fact that he consulted with Mephibosheth, and he was never embarrassed. And if Mephibosheth corrected him, so be it. Tani, we learned in the Brice, Alom Mephibosheth Shmo, Ela Ish Boshesh Shmo. Now, his name is not actually Mephibosheth, it was actually Ish Boshesh. Now, we have in our Girsa and our Gemara Ish Boshesh, but that's a little bit problematic. Ish Boshesh was the son of Shaul. If you look at the side of the Gemara, so he has a different Girsa, Ela Ish Baal Shmo. Whatever the case is, Mephibosheth was not his actual name. And he was called, he was referred to as Mephibosheth because he would always be embarrassing David HaMelech in halacha. And because David HaMelech allowed himself to be embarrassed in halacha and always allowed himself to be corrected, so he had a son as great as Kelav. Now the son of David HaMelech, Kelav, that wasn't his actual name. Ela Daniel Shmo. His actual name was Daniel. Because he would always be embarrassing Mephibosheth. Meaning that David HaMelech had a child who ended up becoming such a Talmid Chacham that this Kelav, the child of David HaMelech, ends up embarrassing now Mephibosheth, is greater in Torah, in learning than Mephibosheth. V'alav amar Shlomo b'chachmaso. And regarding him, Shlomo said, another son of David HaMelech, B'ni im chacham li b'cha, yismach li bi gam ani. So if you are a chacham, I too am going to be happy. V'omer chacham b'ni v'samach li bi v'ashiva chorpai davar. And what you've done is you've taken away my embarrassment. I'm constantly embarrassed of Mephibosheth, but David HaMelech says regarding his son Kilav, you've removed my embarrassment. Okay. With all that stated, let's go back to the beginning of this particular section. We start off by David praising the fact that he's a chassid. Now, as far as humility goes, it doesn't sound like such a modest statement. I'm a big chassid. And the Gemara says there are reasons why he says that. But regardless of the reasons, to articulate and to say you're a chassid, it's not doesn't sound like appropriate behavior. And the Gemara now challenges that exact point. V'david mikakar l'nafshei chassid. David really going to refer to himself as a chassid? V'aksiv, the pasuk says, Lulei amanti l'oros betuv Hashem be'eretz chayim. So another pasuk in Tehillim, Lulei amanti, had it not been that I would have believed that I would see the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Eretz Chayim. Now, if you look carefully over here, you're not going to see it obviously in our Gemara, but if you look in, I would say in the Navi, there are going to be dots over the word Lulei. Okay, you're going to find this throughout Chumash. Not that often, but on occasion, you're going to see dots over the word. When I say dots over the word, I'm not talking about nekudos. I'm talking about actual dots that are over the word. The Hanistaros Lanu, Levanenu. So you'll see dots over the word. And a number of times throughout Chumash, and in Navi as well. Now, the dots over the word, so they are obviously there to communicate a particular message. And by the way, when I say they're dots over the word, meaning even if you look in a cloth, and you look at a Sefer Torah, it's not nekudos. It's a mesorah that the dots belong over the word. And in the word lulei, we have actual dots over the word. V'tana mishmei de Rav Yosef lamana kud alulei. So why are there dots over the word? So an interesting Rashi over here, an important Rashi. Rashi says that generally speaking, what do the dots mean? It's almost like what we do in the English when we put parentheses around the word. It's kind of like we're trying to minimize it. Rashi writes, nakud alulei. You can see the Rashi, it is third line down. It minimizes the meaning of the word. Meaning he wasn't so clear that he was going to see Tuv Hashem, the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. So in general, that's what the dots mean. And in this context, what it means is he's not so sure he's going to see. Amar Dav lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Muftach Ani Ben Bacha, She'ata Mishalem Schar Tov LaTzadikim La'asid Lavo. I'm confident that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you are a Mishalem Schar. A person does in this world, and you give him the reward that he deserves. The issue, he says, is me. I don't know if I am going to be Zoche. Okay, David had a couple of stumbles along the way. Right, the Gemara in Shabbos says that anyone who says that David is Chote, Eino Alatoa, so he's making a mistake by making such a statement. So we're not going to say that he's a chote, but we're going to say that he stumbled. Okay, that's better, right? Good. So the but it's clear, however, that it clearly bothered his consciousness, and so as a result of that, so he is not sure. Shema Yigram Achet, and the Gemara says as follows. So David HaMelech says that he knows for sure that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be no Saint Schar. But at the same time, however, he is not sure as well about himself. And so how can he then, earlier in Perek Pei Vav, just simply say, Shamar Nafshi ki chassid ani. Oh, I'm a chassid. I have nothing to worry about. And so to that, the Gemara's response is, well, Shema Yigram Achet. Because here's what he's afraid of. In other words, he knows in general his behavior is excellent, beyond excellent, right? He's above the letter of the law. On the other hand, there's also Chataim and Shema Yigram Achet. And because of the chait that he encountered over his lifetime, so he was afraid that it diminished from his from his level of schar that he's going to receive. And we're going to see this idea expressed in a number of ideas of Shema Yugram Achet. Another way we see this is by Yaakov Avinu. So the pasuk by Yaakov says, "I'm going to be with you wherever you go." Uksiv vayira Yaakov ma'od. And meanwhile, Yaakov is very afraid. So what is he so afraid about? Amar shami yigrom achet. So another way of manifesting this idea of that. Okay, in other words, in general, Yaakov knew that he was operating on a certain level, but at the same time, however, he was afraid of chataim. Kedetanya, and the Gemara expresses this in another way. Ayavorim Chashem, Ayavorim Zukanisa, Ayavorim Chashem, the Psukim in Az Yashir, Zubi Arishona, that we're talking here about the first time we went into Eretz Yisrael. And Ayavorim Zukanisa, Zubi Ashnia, and we're talking about the second time we went into Eretz Yisrael. So we're talking about the conquest of Eretz Yisrael with Yoshua, that's round one, and we're talking about the reintroduction into Eretz Yisrael with Ezra, that's round two. And here the Chachamim say that Reuyim, here's what should have happened. That really the Nes that occurred during Ezra should have been the same as it was during Yoshua. But as a result of the Chait, so it caused that we don't go into Eretz Yisrael with conquering and conquest, and we have to ask permission from Koresh and Daryavesh. And only when we get the permission do we go in. And even when we go in, we're still under the rule of a foreign governmental body. And so it's not the same. So and the reason why it's not the same is Shigar Machet, that the sin caused. So, okay. So in a number of different ways, we have this idea of either Shema Yigra Machet, or actually the Chet is Gorem, that there be a diminishment. Okay. Adkan, that ends our section. That's So a lot of Agadata. Almost the entire Amud Aleph today is dedicated to Agadata. We talked about David and Moshe knowing about midnight. That's the first half of the Amud Aleph. And the second half of the Amud Aleph is a description of David HaMelech lauding himself to be a chassid, different ways that manifest itself in that he's a chassid, the time that he gets up, the halachic questions that he deals with in the course of the morning. He refers to himself as a chassid. How could he refer to himself as a chassid? So on one hand, he knows that he operates on a certain level. On the other hand, he also knows that he stumbled a couple of times, and he was concerned about that as well. Okay, we are in the bottom of Dal Amud Aleph, continuing now from the Mishnah. The Mishnah talked about the Zman Kriya Shema. We go back to the Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah there says that the Zman Kriya Shema, in terms of when the window opens to start saying the Shema Shel Arvis, so that it's Seisa Kochavim. We learned on the Beis Amud Beis that there are other opinions as well. But in the Mishnah, Seisa Kochavim is when the window opens up. When does the window close? So there were three opinions in the Mishnah. One is the Shita Rebbe Eliezer. You have until the end of the first Mishmar, which is 4 hours into the night. You have then the opinion of the Chachamim. You have till midnight. And then you have the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel that you have the whole night up until Amar HaShachar. V'Chachamim Roman Ad Chatzel. So where do we struggle with this middle opinion? I find myself saying this all the time. Right, the middle opinion is always the most difficult. Right, the extreme positions are easiest to understand, so it's easy to explain extreme. So it's hard to explain being in the middle. So the chachamim keman svir lehu. So who do the chachamim hold like? E kerebi Eliezer svir lehu lemer kerebi Eliezer. So are they saying that fundamentally you have the whole night? Because as we already pointed out, Rashi said this on yesterday's daf that b'shach b'cham can either mean when you go lie down, or b'shachba kamin, while you're lying down. So if the Chachamim are agreeing with Rabbi Gamliel that fundamentally it's while you're lying down, so then you should have the whole night, like Rabbi Gamliel said. Leimuk Rabbi Eliezer. Sorry, I started in the wrong place. If he's holding like Rabbi Eliezer, that b'shachba means when you go lie down. Okay, sorry, everything I said good. Just, I switched around the sheet. If you say like Rabbi Eliezer, that's when you go and lie down, so then fine. So then he should say like Rabbi Eliezer. And E, Karam and Gamliel, Sphir, Lehu, Lamer, Karam and Gamliel. So, but if he holds like Rabbi Gamliel, that you have the whole night, say the whole night. Midnight is nowhere. It's not when people start lying down, and it's not the whole night. So where is midnight? Now it's funny, by the way, because we more or less know the pshat, but the Gemara here really spells it out. So la olam kuramin gamliel sfer lahu, really holds like ramin gamliel that you have the whole night. V'hadika amri ad chatzos kedei laharchik es adam in avera. And chatzos just simply is there to distance a person from the avera, meaning it is a rabbinic injunction. It's a fence that is set around the Torah so that a person should not think I have the whole night. Therefore, he'll procrastinate and no delay. And so, therefore, once you say midnight, and that's it, you don't have to have after midnight, it'll motivate people to say Shema at an earlier time. Kid de Tanya. And the Gemara, yeah. This is a pshat we would have said. It's hard to imagine a different pshat, even after having read the Mishnah. I totally agree with you. But kid de Tanya, the Gemara here quotes the Braisa. And the Braisa says it, Beferish. Chachamim asu siyag ledivrayem. The Chachamim made a fence around the Torah, because here is human nature. We come home from the field in the evening. So where's my first stop? I'll run straight home. And I'll eat a little bit, I'll drink a little bit. I'll just take a small nap. And then I'll reach Ma. And then I'll daven. And now, great plan, right? It's not a great plan. Because then what's going to happen is that he's going to fall asleep. He'll sleep the whole night. When a person comes home from the field, here's what by erev in the evening, here's what he should do. Run straight to shul. In regular cross kore. Now, if you are accustomed and you know how to read chumash, read chumash. Shona. And if you know how to learn Mishnah, so then good, better, learn Mishnayos. V'kori kriya shma and read kriya shma. Umis palva ochel pito mevarech. And then afterwards, then go home and have some bread and bench. V'chola over al divrei chachamim chayv misa. Now, in this regard, if you violate divrei chachamim chayv misa, chayv misa over here does not mean that there's any kind of corporal punishment. It's not a misa that is coming from Beis Din. It's a misa of violating divrei chachamim. All right? It's a misa bidei shamayim, so to say. And not a formal misa bidei shamayim, which actually is for a number of averus in the Torah, but it's a, if I can express this or understand this, it's an informal misa bidei shamayim that comes for violating the words of the chachamim. Okay, fine. And so what we've established now is that this idea that the chachamim set up chatzos as just simply a cushion, a barrier, so that even though they fundamentally agree with Rebbe Gamliel, that you really do have the whole night to say Shema, but as a siyag, as a fence, they put chatzos as the deadline. Gemara wants to know, fine, we understand siyagim. Question over here is, this is really harsh language. If I violate this siyag, the Rabbanan, so you're chayv misa. Okay, in other words, we know we should be following the takanos and the gzeros of the chachamim. We know that. Over here, you have to add the words chayv misa. It's strong language. So the Gemara says, yes, it's strong language. But we know when you get home at night, you're tired. And we know how tempting it is to just simply go home and I'll just go to bed. And so therefore, the chachamim want to reinforce to you, no, when you go home, don't go straight home. Stop at shul, daven mariv, and then go home. The Gemara says also the strong language because we're going to see later on. And of Chav Zayin in Brachos coming up several weeks from now, is a major machlokus in terms of whether Mariv is a chova, it's an obligation, or is it a reshus, is it optional? And when we say the word optional, we'll explain that a little bit better when we get to Daf Chav Zayin. But right now, the Gemara wants us to know that the reason why we're using strong language is because there is an opinion that says the Mariv is a reshus, and the author of this Braisa does not support that. The author of this Braisa is of the opinion that Mariv is a chova, and so therefore don't think to yourself, it's just Mariv, which is optional anyway. I'll go home. I'll have dinner. No, don't think that way. Mariv is a chova. You must go to shul. You're obligated to go to shul. And if you don't, chayv misa. Okay, and that's why the really strong language regarding this requirement of not going straight home, but rather going to shul. Adkan, that ends this section of the Gemara. So in this section, what we have seen together is this idea of the Chacham's position of Chatzos. Where is it fundamentally? So we learned it's fundamentally with Rami Gamliel, that really you have the whole night, and Chatzos is just a siyag derabanan. Okay. A word of introduction before we start the next section of the Gemara. We are talking about davening Shema and then going into Tefillah. Every morning when we daven, so we start with Pesukei Zimra, we'll start with Karbanos, and Actually, even before that, we start with Berachos HaShachar. But just if I could start with Shema and Berachos Shema. So there is Shema, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa to say in the morning. The Berachos HaShema, which surround the Shema in the morning, two before, one after. In the evening, two before, two after. And then we launch into Shemoneh Esrei. Now, in the morning, this idea that we go from Shema with the Bracha of Gal Yisrael and then launching into Shemoneh Esrei. So Shema and Shemoneh Esrei obviously are not the same thing. Shema is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Right? We have a mitzvah, a minhag Torah, to say Shema in the morning. It's associated with Kabbalah, Salam, Achus Shemaim, but in other words, it's a mitzvah of Shema. Davening, obviously, is something separate. Davening is where we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all of our needs. Okay. This idea that we take Shema and we take Shema and Esrei and we put them together, so we're used to it, so for us, we're so habituated by this idea that we don't think, is that like necessary? Do we have to say Shema, follow them by Shema and Esrei? And the answer is yes. But for the following reason. The bracha that follows Shema is the bracha of Gal Yisrael. And as we're going to learn right now, there's this idea of being somech geula l'tfila. What needs to be juxtaposed, one right next to the other, is the Gal Yisrael, the bracha, the after Shema, has to be immediately before Shemoneh Esrei. Those two are melded together so that you have to be somech geula l'tfila. Okay. Now why? So in a moment, I'll give you a couple of suggestions of why that's so. What the Gemara now is going to be discussing is the following. This idea of being somech geula l'tfila is absolutely necessary when it comes to shacharis. It's a non-starter. Nothing, no negotiation regarding that. However, at Mariv, maybe one could argue, maybe this idea of being somech geula l'tfila is only limited to shacharis, but not by Mariv. And I'll make the point now, but we're going to make it in the Gemara in just a moment. If you think about it, by Mariv, you know, we're not somech geula l'tfila. Meaning we say Gal Yisrael, and then we say Hashkiveinu. We add another bracha. So already you see that we're not so bent on this idea that Gal Yisrael, and then immediately into Shemoneh Esrei. And so what we're going to see together right now, Machlokas HaMaraim, whether there is a requirement of smicha geula l'tfila by Mariv. By Shacharis, an absolute requirement. But maybe not by Mariv, and that's going to be the machlokas amongst the Amoraim. Amar Mar Kari Kriyashma Umispala. So in the Braisa that we read, that we just read, it says that make sure that at Mariv you go to Shul instead of going straight home, and make sure that you learn some Torah. If you can, learn Mishnayos. And then Kari Kriyashma Umispala. Now, clearly in the context of the Braisa, we are talking about Mariv, and it says that you should daven Shema. You should say the Shema, and then you should daven. So it certainly sounds like from the Braisa that this idea of being somech geula l'tfila is also by Mariv as well. Misayel l'Rav Yochanan, that this works out very well for Rav Yochanan, Dam Rav Yochanan, Ezu ben Olam Abazel, somech geula l'tfila sh'arvis. So by doing smicha geula l'tfila by Mariv, you are a ben Olam Haba. So Rav Yochanan clearly endorses this idea that you must do it by Mariv. Again, by Shacharis, everybody agrees. It's by Mariv. Now Rav Yishuv ben Levi Omer tfilas b'emsa tiknum. Now Rav Yishuv ben Levi disagrees. He says, no, the tfila should be in the middle. Meaning, how should your day look? It should look like Shema in the morning, then the Shemoneh Esrei of Shacharis. Okay. Afternoon, there's also another Shemoneh Esrei. Then the Shemoneh Esrei of Mariv, and then Shema afterwards. So that the Shemoneh Esreis of the day, the three Shemoneh Esreis of the day, are sandwiched between the Shema before Shacharis and the Shema after Mariv. Now, obviously, according to Rav Yishuv Malevi, the Mariv is there is no requirement of being somech geula l'tfila. That part's clear. But what is the machlokus over here? B'mai kamifugi. Ibai sema kri, ibai sema svara. So the Gemara says there's a couple of ways of explaining the machlokus. Ibai sema svara. We explain in the following manner. Rav Yochanan samar geula me'orta nami have. Ela geula mal yasa lo havia ela ad tzafra. As far as the Shita's Rav Yochanan is concerned, look. We had Geula at night, meaning we're going back to Mitzrayim, and we're looking at Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, when can you say the Geula happened? So, when we physically left Mitzrayim. So, and that's the morning. However, already at night, we already experienced a partial Geula. Karm Pesach, Makas Bechoros, meaning there was...
The process began
at night, and so therefore we had somewhat of a Geula at night. We had somewhat of a geula. We had obviously the main geula in the morning, but there's geula and geula both at night and the morning. And so therefore that requires a somech geula l'tfila. And Rav Yishuv ben Levi Savar came into Lohavi. Alav mitzafra Lohavi geula mal yasa. And Rabbi Yishur ben Levi says, okay, look, obviously the process started, but in terms of Geula, where we physically left Mitzrayim, that was the morning. And so the morning is the only time that there's this real requirement of being summit Geula L'Tfilah, because the Geula really is the morning and not the evening. That's one way to explain the Machlokas. See, by Yisei Makra, Ushnei Mikra Echad Darshu, or they could be Darshaning Pesukim. Dechsiv, the Pasuk says, B'shach Becha of Kumecha. So again, the pasuk that tells us about the requirement of Shema, Rav Yochanan Savra, make yishchiv l'kima. Ma'kima kriya Shema v'charkach tefila, av shchiv anami kriya Shema v'charkach tefila. As far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, the Shach b'chav kumecha tells us that they have to look the same. The Shema in the morning and the Shema in the evening have to match each other. Just like the Shema in the morning, it's Shema followed then afterwards by Amida, and therefore you're being so magula l'tefila. Same thing by Mariv. It's Shema followed then afterwards by Mariv. And Rav Yeshua ben Levi Savar, make yishchiv l'kima. Makima kriya shema samach l'mitaso. Avshchiv anami kriya shema samach l'mitaso. Now Rav Yeshua ben Levi can use the exact same argument and arrive at a different conclusion. Yes, they have to pattern each other, but the shema has to be proximate to either you're getting up or going to bed. Meaning when you wake up in the morning, so right next to that is going to be shema. And then you'll daven afterwards. And as far as the shema in the evening, so that you want to put right next to when you're going to bed. So that means that the Shema has to be proximate, you go and sleep. You don't want any separation between the Shema and you going to sleep. And so therefore put the Shemone Esrei before the Shema. Okay, so two ways to explain the machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Rav Yehoshua ben Levi in terms of whether or not there's a requirement to being Somech Gula L'Tfila as it relates to Mariv. Okay, what is this idea of being Somech Gula L'Tfila? Okay, so now is a good time to ask. Meaning, good. So we know it's a machlokas whether you need it by Mariv. By Shacharis, everyone agrees you need it. What is this idea? So you take a look at Rashi over here, a critical Rashi. Zeh Samech, Rashi writes, V'chol shekin to Shacharis, the Iker Gula Mitzrayim v'Shacharis, Havik Dechsiv, Mimacharis HaPesach Yatzu B'nei Yisrael. Okay, so as we already established, the main Geula occurred in the morning. Usmichas Gula Tfila, Rimza David B'Sefer Tehillim. As far as Smicha Gula Tfila, you're going to see an allusion to it in Sefer Tehillim. The pasuk says, "Dechsiv Hashem Tziri v'Goali, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you are my rock, you are my redeemer, and Usmich Lei Yancha Hashem B'Yom Tzara." And then the next pasuk is, "Kadosh Baruch Hu, please answer me." So we talk first about the pasuk of Geula, and then Yancha, and Kadosh Baruch Hu, answer me, meaning obviously you're davening. V'Amina Bebrachas Yerushalmi, and now so that was just a remez. What's the idea of being Somech Gula L'Tfila? So Rashi continues, quoting the Yerushalmi. Mishen is Somech Gula L'Tfila L'mahu Domeh Lo Ava Shemelech Shabavadafak Apischo Shemelech Yatza Umelech Umatzo Shehiflig Afuiflig. So imagine, you want to petition the king. So what do you do? Well, not what should you do, but what did you do? You started knocking on the door. Right? Bang, bang, bang. And now you're knocking. Now, the king has no idea that you're there. The king had no idea that you were coming. Right, you didn't do anything to introduce your announcement. You're just knocking on the door. Now, the king doesn't answer immediately. So what do? You walk away. And meanwhile, the king is now walking to the door, and he opens the door. He sees you're gone. Okay, so he'll go as well. Good. That's if you're not Samech Gula L'Tfila. Ella ye'adam makarv l'Kadosh Baruch Hu elav umeretzeo b'tishbachos v'kolsin shel yitzias Mitzrayim. So what should you do? So what you should do is you should praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Make yourself closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you redeemed us out of Mitzrayim, right? Remember that relationship that we had for years, for centuries, for millennia? V'hu miskari ve'lav uva odo kari ve'lav. So to create a connection between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now that you're close, now yesh l'litvotz terachav. Okay, so now you have an audience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now you can be tovei, now you can ask. Okay, so this is Rashi's mashal quoting the Yerushalmi, in terms of what is the significance, what's so critical of being Somech Gula L'Tfila. Take a look at Rabbeinu Yonah over here. I'm not going to go through it right now. Rabbeinu Yonah offers another explanation of what is the significance, why is it so critical to be Somech Gula L'Tfila. Okay, so anyway, so where do we stand right now? On this question of being Somech Gula L'Tfila by Shacharis, it is a non-starter. You have to be Somech Gula L'Tfila by Shacharis. And it's now just a question of whether the same thing is true regarding Mariv as well. Machlokus between the Amoraim, Rav Yochanan says you do have to be Somech Gula L'Tfila, and Rav Yehoshua ben Levi says it is not requirement, it's not necessary. Okay, there is a lot of issues to discuss over here. I know the time is short. Tosos over here, the second Tosos on the Amud, discusses various Nihugim that have entered into our practice over the last many centuries. Number one, we say Yireinenu, right? There's a minhag Ashkenaz that after Gal Yisrael Amariv and after Ashkivenu, so we have another paragraph that was introduced into the Mariv davening. And obviously, if you're subscribing to Rav Yochanan, like, how do you make sense of that? How are we adding another paragraph in? Now, first of all, I know we didn't even answer the question yet. How do we add Hashkivenu? Meaning, if there is a requirement of being somach gula l'tfila, like Rav Yochanan says, so how do we add Hashkivenu? So the Gemara is going to tell us in just a minute. I'm giving away the answer right now. So the Gemara calls that a gula richta. Hashkivenu is just simply another level, another degree of gula. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect us over the course of the night. He will redeem us over the course of the night. Okay. Yiru'einenu, so Tosa says, so how do we add that in? Meaning that's an entire another paragraph, creating further separation between Geula and Tefila. And then, without going through the Tosfos inside, what about Kaddish? Right? The Niyug, the practice has been for, you know, I'll say forever, not forever, but for a very long time, the practice has been that before we start with the Shmoneh Esrei of Mariv, we add Kaddish. Isn't that going to create further separation between Geula and Tefila? Okay. So, these are issues that are dealt with Tosfos over here. Meaning, who are we fundamentally going like? Are we going like Rabbi Yochanan? It seems that way, because we first say Shema, and then we say Shmoneh Esrei. On the other hand, there are many ways in which we don't seem to really be that interested in being Somat Gula L'Tfila by Mariv. Okay. So, it is confusing, and Tosfos tries to make heads and tails of where do we stand by Mariv in terms of being Somat Gula L'Tfila. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. So, Masiv. Masev Marbury de Ravina be'erev mevarch shem lefanev shem lacharev v'i amard by lismoch haloka samet gula l'tfila deha by lameimar ashkivenu. Okay, here's where the Gemara asked a question which I already previewed, and that is, how can you subscribe to Rav Yochanan and that there must be smicha gula l'tfila by Mariv, and meanwhile there's another bracha that buffers? Answers the Gemara, Amri kevin to tekin rabban ashkivenu kegula richta damya. Ashkivenu is a rabbinic institution. It is considered gula richta. Rav Yochanan says, do you know what happened by Amida in general? So Psukim were added. Chachamim added a pasuk before Shmoneh Esrei, Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, Ufi Yagid Tila Secha, and then added a pasuk after Shmoneh Esrei, Yul Ratzon. We also, by the way, added more after Shmoneh Esrei as well, all kind of sore. We'll talk about that later in the Masechta. So, but meanwhile, we're focusing right now on Shem Sfasai Tiftach. Isn't that create a separation between Geula L'Tfila? If there is this requirement that there must be an adhesion between Geula and Tfila, so nothing can separate. And meanwhile, what's Shem Sfasai Tiftach doing? It's creating separation. Ela Hasam came into Tekin Rabban L'Meimar Shem Sfasai Tiftach K'Tfila Rech L'Damya. So Hashem Sfasai Tiftach is basically an annexed portion of Shmoneh Esrei. It is now considered part and parcel of Shmoneh Esrei. And so Hachanami came to Tekin Rabban Lameimar Hashkivenu Kegula Richta Damya. And we're going to say the same thing regarding Hashkivenu. It's now annexed to the Geula. And it's considered part and parcel of the Geula. Geula Richta. Okay. Continuing now in the Gemara, that ends our topic of discussion regarding being Somach Geula L'Tfila. So again, just a quick recap. Is one supposed to be Somach Gula L'Tfila by Mariv? By Shacharis, yes. By Mariv, Machlokas Amaraim. And the Gemara goes back and forth regarding what seems to be difficulties for Rav Yochanan's position. Amar Balaz Amar Abi Avina Kol Amar Tila L'David B'chol Yom Shalosh Pa'amim Muftach Lo Shehu Ben Olam Haba. If you say the Tehila L'David, what we call Ashrei, by the way, we call it Ashrei. Ashrei is not really part of the Psukim of Kuf Mem Hei. Just a couple of introductory psukim. But let's call it Ashrei because that's what we're all used to calling it. So if you say Ashrei three times a day, you're muftach lo shem ben olam haba. So that is assurances that you will be part, you will receive a portion in olam haba. Meaning it's really important to say Ashrei three times a day. Really interesting Rashi over here. Rashi writes, you know why three times a day? So it's keneged, the three davenings, the shacharis, mincha, mariv. So then it just causes me to think, and I don't have an answer, so why don't we space out the Ashrays, one for Shacharis, one for Mincha, one for Mariv. Of course, that's not what we do. We do two by Shacharis and one by Mincha. Okay. So, my time, Ma'ilem, Mishum, Di'asya, Ba'alav, Bey. So maybe the significance of Ashrays that follows an acrostic of Aleph Beis. So the Gemara says, okay. So name Ashrei Tamim Ederech, Da'asya B'Tanya Apin. So the Gemara says, so why don't we say Telem Kuf Yutes? Now, I have an answer. I have my own personal answer why we don't say Telem Kuf Yutes, because it does go over the Aleph Beis, but 8 psukim for each one of the Aleph Beis. 176 psukim in total. Okay.
Too long.
Yeah.
Noon,
we'll get there. So the Gemara says, Elam Yishum di Izbei, Posechus Yadecha. So the significance of Ashrei is the Pasuk of Posechus Yadecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you provide food for everyone in this world. So name Halal Gadol, Dichsiv Bei, Nosin Lechem Echol Basar. So the Gemara says, okay, so say Halal Gadol. Halal Hagadol, Perek Kuf Lamed Vav, which we say on Shabbos. So in it, it says, Nosin Lechem Echol Basar. So if the significance of Ashrei's Posechus Yadecha, so Nesan Nosim Lechem Lechol Basar. So why don't we say that? Elam Yishum Dias Beitarte, Ashrei's got both. It's got the acrostic Aleph Beis. It also has Posechus Yadecha. It makes it a really important tefillah. Amar Rav Yochanan Mimnei Malo Nemar Nun Ba'ashrei. Where's the Nun? Mimnei Sheish Ba Ma'apalas M'shol Son Yisrael. The Nun is associated with falling down. Dichsiv, the Pasuk Anamo says, Nafalo Susif Kum Besulas Yisrael. That you fall down and you won't get up again. That's the Pasuk Anamo. Now, b'marava mitartzei lehachi. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, so they give a different pshat in that pasuk in Amos, because that pasuk in Amos is really depressing. All right? You fall, and you're not going to get up. So in Eretz Yisrael, when they say the pasuk, nafla v'lo sosif lin pol, od kum besulas Yisrael. They're not rewriting the pasuk. But what they're doing is they're saying pshat in the pasuk. You fall, but you won't fall again. And od kum besulas Yisrael. And you're going to get up. That's how they touch up the pasuk in Amos. Okay. Anyway, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Afila Hachi Chazar David V'Samchan Beruach Hakodesh Shenemar Samecha Hashem L'Chol Noflim. Now, even though there's no nun, because nun is associated with Nefila, but there is kind of like a remez in Ashrei towards the nun. If you go in the pasuk Vayter in the pasuk Samecha Hashem L'Chol Noflim, so the Noflim over there, the nun is alluded to in Ashrei, even though you don't have an actual separate pasuk for the nun. Amar Avalaz Baravina Gadol Mashenemar B'Michal Yosef Mashenemar B'Gavriel. Michal is greater than Gavriel. Now, obviously, I can't say that, but the Gemara does. The Gemara can say that. Deal B'Michal Ksiv by the Malach Michal Vayav Eli Echad Minasrafim Ve'elu Ve'ilu Gabi Gavriel Ksiv Vayish Gavriel Asher Reisi B'Chazon B'Tchila Ma'of B'Yaev. So, how many jumps does it take? So, for Michal, it takes one jump, and by Gavriel, he takes in two jumps. Okay. So, Michal is greater than Gavriel. So my mashman dahai echan Michal, who now in the first pasuk that was cited, so it didn't say Michal, didn't identify him as Michal. How do we know? I'm Rav Yochanan Asya echad echad k'siv hachav yafalei echad min asarafim hasarafim v'k'siv hasam hinei Michal echad hasarim harishonim ba le'azreni. Okay, so by associating two pasukim together, we know that the echad is in reference to Michal. Tana, we have a brisa Michal ba'achas. Michal only takes one leap in order to get there. By the way, don't ask me where there is. I'm not sure. This is obviously Divrei Agadata. Right? It's above my pay grade in terms of I don't understand, but I get the basic idea.
What does a leap
mean? Right, yeah, what does a leap mean? Okay, right. So much of this, obviously, I can only communicate in the language that I understand, and I understand very little. Michal ba'achas, Michal is by one, Gavriel b'shtayim, and Gavriel's two leaps. Eliyahu ba'arva, for Eliyahu, it takes four leaps. Malach HaMavis b'shmona, the Malach HaMavis takes eight leaps. However, if it is the time of Magefa, so then the Malach HaMavis is given a fast pass. It's not a great way to say it, I know, right? But the idea is, however, certainly there. I'm Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, Alpha Pishakara Adam, Kriyashma Bebesa Knesset, Mitzvah Lakroso, Almitaso. And we finish up this morning with one last idea, and that is Kriyashma Alamita. Here is the Gemara on the bottom of Dalet Mud Beis in Brachos. That even though you said Kriya Shema in Shul, there still is an idea to say Kriya Shema at night. Amar Rav Yossi Maikra, the pasuk Rigzu Va'al Techtu, Imru Belvavchem Amishkavchem, V'domu Sela. The pasuk in Tehillim says that you should shake and don't sin. And as you are going to bed, so don't be silent, meaning as you go to sleep, so there should be something that you should say prior to going to sleep. Amar Rav Nachman Tamar Chacham Hu, Ain't Sarach. Rav Nachman says, look, if you're Talmid Chacham, so it's not an absolute requirement to say Shema because you're going to be saying something before you go to bed. Tab Rashi and the Amud in Talmid Chacham Hu. Sheragu b'mishnah so lachzor girsa so tamid. So daya b'kach. So you're going over your Mishnayos. So you're saying something before going to bed. So you don't have to say Shema. Amar Abayi Av Talmid Chacham Ibayi le'lemei merchab psuka derachmei. So Abai says, I basically agree, but there's, you should be saying one pasuk of Rachmanus before going to bed. Kigon biavka avkid ruchi padisi osi Hashem alemes. So a pasuk, now here he's either telling you this is the pasuk, or he's just giving an example of the kind of pasuk you should be saying. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you watch over me, and you're a Kadosh Baruch Hu of truth, and please allow me to wake up tomorrow morning. So one pasuk of Rachmanus that you should say before going to bed. Okay, Kriya Shema Shalamita obviously is a much larger topic. The Gemara covered it only in all of four lines, but there's this idea that before going to bed at night, so you should be saying Shema, Kriya Shema Lamita. If you open up a sitter, you'll see the whole Nusach. How much of the Shema do you need to say? So I refer you back to the first Rashi, that one of the first Rashis of the Masechta. Rashi writes that you should be saying the first paragraph of Shema. Some have the Nusach of saying more than that, but just a good reminder of what Rashi told us in the beginning of the Masechta. To recap our morning. This morning, major topics that were discussed were, number one, the idea that David and Moshe knew when midnight was, or maybe did not know exactly when midnight was, and the various approaches of how to understand their knowledge of midnight. Moshe Rabbeinu saying, Kachatzos HaLaila, around midnight. Did he know? Did he not know? That was the first major topic that was discussed. David HaMelech says that he was a chassid. In what way was he a chassid? The Gemara brings two ways down that he was a chassid. How can he even say that he's a chassid? What about a nivus? What about a nava? So the Gemara, so what he was attesting to the fact is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving schar for those who serve him. David HaMelech, as far as him personally was concerned, Shemi Yigro Machet. And we had other ideas of Shemi Yigro Machet. The Amud Beis today, we cover the topic of when's the last time to say Shema at night. The Chachamim say up until midnight. Where do they hold? Are they holding like Rabbi Eliezer? Are they holding the Chachamim? Are they holding the Rabbi Gamliel? Answer, they're holding like Rabbi Gamliel. You really fundamentally have all night. The Chachamim asu siyag l'divrayim. They made a fence around the Torah so that at midnight, you must say the Shema by midnight so that you won't come to procrastinate and miss the Shema altogether. Another big topic we covered is Somet Gula L'Tfila. So this idea of being Somet Gula L'Tfila, certainly by Shachris, we went over the Rashi, we quoted the Yerushalmi, what is the significance of being Somet Gula L'Tfila? So according to Rashi, according to the Yerushalmi, it's his karvus l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then you petition him. You can't just start asking questions and start asking. This certainly is true by Shachris. Is it also going to be true by Marv as well? Machlokis Amarayim. And then with a subsequent discussion of, well, which position do we follow? Like, and it seems like we're adding a number of tefillas that separate the Birchos Shema, the Gal Yisrael, and the Amida of Maariv. And how do we justify all that? And Tosfos touches on this topic. And the last thing we discussed this morning is the saying Ashrei three times a day. The significance of saying Ashrei three times a day. Why is Ashrei so significant? Two reasons: Al Beis and Poseach Es Yadecha. The comparison of the Malachim one to another. The reason why it comes up, by the way, again, these non sequitur Gemaras. So what you always have to look for is the same Baal Memra, right? Rav Elazar Rebbe Avinei, who was talking about the comparison of the Malachim. So it was the same Baal Memra that we had just about 7-8 lines earlier. Okay. And finally, the last thing we cover today is Kriyas Shema Lamita. It's important before going to bed at night to say Psukim of compassion, Rachmanus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to also say Shema as well. Perhaps that's not true by a Talmud Chacham. Abai says even a Talmud Chacham should be saying something at night.